today on From the Heart, we have Christian Gagliardi. He is 17 years old, grew up in Canterbury, and now he lives in Chadstone, lucky him. He has a bicuspid aortic valve heart defect. He's had three open heart surgeries, with the very last one being the Ross procedure in 2022. He is an incredibly positive person and an absolute lover of drawing, and it is a pleasure to have him with us.
It took a while to get there. Still navigating it, but I would say just communicate about it. And I have a close network so you can talk about it, which will make you feel more open. And when you feel more open, you can be more positive about it.
Before we begin, we would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land of which we record. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, who are part of the world's oldest continuing culture and the first storytellers. We acknowledge the importance of supporting health for all peoples, now and in the future. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are warned that this podcast may contain the voices and names of people who've passed. Welcome, CJ. It is great to have you here. I guess to start off, could you tell us where you are joining us from?
From Melbourne, Victoria.
Oh, lucky. I love Melbourne.
Yes, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there. Nice. And the AFL too.
Yeah. Yes, it's also been very hot down here recently.
Has it?
Yes, which isn't like Melbourne weather at all.
Yeah, that's new for you guys. Oh my God. Do you barrack for an AFL team by any chance?
Richmond.
Oh my God, same.
Really?
Yes. Oh my God. My dad's side of the family is Victorian and avid Richmond supporters. So
yeah.
Nice. Nice to know that we are amongst friends here.
Yes.
I guess to really kick us off, obviously you're here as a heart kid. Do you want to tell me a little bit about your diagnosis?
Yeah, so I have bicuspid aortic valve, which is where I've got two leaflets instead of three. And my valve is also leaky.
Yeah, okay. At what stage in your life were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed when my mum was pregnant with me, when I got monitored frequently.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay. And tell me, I guess, obviously having an early awareness of a CHD, what were the early years of life like for you? Did you have surgical intervention? Did you have medication? What did things look like?
I did have surgery. I've had three, previous one being in 2022, which was the Ross procedure.
Okay, yep.
And medication, I have been put on medication and that's never fun, but do it for my health.
Mm. So you've had three surgeries.
Yep.
Were the ones, the first two, when you were quite young?
I think I was around nine when I had them. I remember specific parts of it, but other parts I don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was it like? It must be an odd feeling to know that you've had surgeries before, but then have to, like, as an adult, like, mentally prepare for another one. What was that like?
Well, yeah, with the first one, going back to that real quickly, I had to have the first two in 2 days apart.
Oh, babe.
Yeah, that's why I think there's very specific memories mm-hmm. of the first one. And my last one, pretty much as an adult, it was in the midst of COVID. It kept getting delayed, which wasn't like, you know, that's not good for anyone. I guess that just constantly having to mentally prepare myself just to be told it wasn't happening today took a mental toll on me. But I dealt with it and I got through it.
Yeah, beautiful. What was it, I suppose, afterwards as well, like, COVID was such a hard time and then to have a surgery in it, what did your kind of like, not only your like physical recovery, but how did your mental recovery, what did you do after to kind of really look after yourself?
In terms of physical side, I usually handle surgeries pretty well. I can recover pretty quickly, which is a blessing. So that just got up, walked slowly and just progressed on. In terms of my mental health, watched a lot of movies. That's a good coping mechanism. Family and drawing. I love art.
I love that.
Those are all really good stress relievers.
Yeah, beautiful. And I guess in terms of like when we go through periods like this, I think you do really rely upon a support network.
Yes.
For you, what does your support network kind of look like?
For my first two, obviously family is always involved, friends. But for my first two, I had a lot of teachers involved from my school. They were very in the process. And then, as I said, of course, family's there all the time. And I'm Italian, so I've got a big family. Everyone's always there and, you know, amazing to have around in stressful times.
Yeah, beautiful. In terms of, I suppose, navigating the medical system, like when did you come into contact with Heart Kids? When did they come along in your journey?
My family got in contact, I believe, when I was 9 years old, and it started off with the Heart Kid Walk. I've done that a couple times. And then last year, I got to go to the Heart Kids Camp, which was a delight as well.
I'm so jealous that I aged out of that before I could do it. What is it like? Like, what is the experience like?
It's good to meet people that I can relate to and talk to about, because even though family is amazing, it's always different to find someone who can actually sort of relate and say, you know, I've been through that side of it. And the activities were fun, good group of people, so not much to complain about.
I love that.
It was very informative as well.
Yeah, okay.
Which I appreciated.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? It's one of those things where you kind of go through life just, you know, doing your thing. It's not until you like get into those situations where you're like, everyone around me knows what I'm saying when I say this. Like, it's really special to be amongst like your own.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, as a young adult, you're obviously kind of getting to the point. At what age are you going to transfer into adult care?
I'm going to be transferring to adult care at the end of this year.
Beautiful. How are you feeling?
Nervous, because I'm a creature of habit. And I guess having all my surgeries at the children's hospital, I've become so used to that area and the people, like my medical team. Having to change is a worry, but I'm also looking forward to it, because I'll get to have a little bit more of say, a little bit more of just overlook.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, like, how are you feeling about kind of having a little bit more independence around your health, but also there's independence, but there's also like having to advocate for yourself in your health. How are you feeling about that?
Nervous, but I got a good group of people around me, so I know I'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. I think it's one of those situations, like I look back on my transition and it was very bumpy, but I look at where I am now and I'm like,
yeah,
oh my God, incredible. Do you know what hospital you're going to? Do you know what doctor? Have you had any of these kind of conversations?
I'm going to the Royal Melbourne Hospital.
Beautiful.
In terms of doctors, I don't know any yet.
Nice.
And far from that, yeah, just looking forward to meeting them at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. I think growing up, like we have with heart conditions, you do feel a little different because we are different. Sometimes there are situations where like our ability to do things are limited. How's that played out for you in your life?
I was very limited in sports at school, which was a bummer because I do like sports, and also even out of school, because I always wanted to do an out of school activity. And it was just trying to find an activity that it wouldn't stress me out too much, but that was also a difficult thing to find. And also I was a lot smaller than the other kids due to my condition and everything like that.
Yeah, totally. And it sounds like from what you were saying before, like sports has been a challenge, but you love drawing. So I suppose how have you been able to find things in your life that you have a passion for and you're really excited about, but don't push you or stretch your limits?
Well, yes, drawing is definitely one of them. That was always a comfort. And then being able to also expand on it and get better at it, because not being able to do all the sports all the time, I had to find something. So it got me at a better place with my drawing skills, which I'm very grateful for as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Are you like studying art in school?
I do want to do an apprenticeship.
Yeah, that would be sick. That would be really, really cool. Oh my God. I don't have a creative bone in my body when it comes to drawing. My dad is incredibly talented at anything he does creative, and that was just not passed down to me, and it frustrates the life out of me. So I love creative people. I guess when it comes to your drawing, like what do you draw? What is your style? Why do you like it?
I like it due to you can take your time and it doesn't have to be perfect to still make it art. It could be the messiest thing. It could look ugly and it's still art.
Oh my God,
and
I love
it's
that.
An escape as well.
I love that. Like, I'm like, it has to be perfect to be art, Rachel. That's not right. But that is beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
No, no, that's okay. And I think in terms of your identity, looking at how far you've come in life and where what you're looking towards, I suppose, how have you been able to look at your heart identity and who you are because of your heart and sit it within yourself, if that makes sense?
Yes. I didn't really want to come to terms with it. I always tried to, you know, just like phase all of it out, all the conversations and everything. But as I've gotten older, I've come to understand it and realize that it is me and it's not going away. I've got to deal with it and move forward.
Do you remember, was there like any particular moments that that did kind of hit you?
When I got opportunities like this, when I was a lot younger, I didn't want anything to do with it just because I was like, you know, if I don't talk about it, it's not real.
Yeah.
Avoidance was a big thing, but as I'm getting older, I'm like, I should embrace it. So I've come to terms with that.
Yeah, I love that. We were just talking before about like growing up, you might be able to relate to this, but I felt like it was like a little secret that I had to keep and like my family and we talked about it. But 100% as you get older, you're like, actually, this is a part of me that makes me appreciate my life, that makes me want to do things with my life. And I guess for you, when you're looking towards the future, what are things that you want to achieve or what are the goals that you have?
I would love to be an actor, but due to me loving art, I would love to be a tattoo artist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to hopefully going down that road.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Oh, my gosh. Would you do like soul trading or do you want to work in a shop? Like, what's the vision?
Just get an apprenticeship to start with.
Yeah.
And then move up from that. It's just difficult trying to find courses.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like tattooing can be very broad.
Mm.
And maybe even like come in contact with people with similar conditions and help them as well through like art and tattooing.
Yeah, beautiful. I think it's really interesting when you see people like I have always wanted to have like my condition tattooed on me or something like that. I think it's really beautiful when you look at people who have tattoos and you can see how they've expressed themselves.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I think it's really like, do you have any tattoos or do you have any plans to get any tattoos?
Definitely. As soon as I hit 18, I am in the shop.
Nice.
I like to look at it as our body is a canvas and, you know, don't let it go to waste.
Yeah. I hope you don't mind me asking, but just on the same kind of strain, do you have surgery scars?
Yes, I do. I've got one just in the center of my chest.
Same. I suppose, how do you feel about your scar?
At the start, same thing. I didn't really talk about it. I didn't like it because I just wanted to avoid it. I would always cover it up. But as I'm getting older, I love to just show it off.
I love that. I find it really interesting having conversations with people who have surgery scars and their relationship to tattoos about it's like an ownership of your body and like a tattoo is kind of a scar that you choose for yourself.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a really beautiful thing.
Mm.
Wonderful. Well, look. I guess in terms of looking back on your journey and your experience and where you are now and the person that you are now, I suppose what is your biggest piece of advice for young people who are, I suppose, learning to be comfortable with who they are?
I would say don't be ashamed of it. It is what it is. And you have a good close of friends or family and just express yourself and express your emotions.
You strike me as a really positive person. How do you have such a positive outlook? How do you maintain that?
It took a while to get there.
Hallelujah.
Still navigating it, but I would say just communicate about it. And I have a close network so you can talk about it, which will make you feel more open. And when you feel more open, you can be more positive about it.
Yeah, 100%. I guess in future as well, like, knowing very strongly who you are, like such a gift to yourself, but it's also a gift to other people. Like, do you have ambitions to do any kind of advocacy or anything around your heart?
Yes, if I definitely got the chance, I would. That would be a very fun experience to do stuff like that. And it would also make me feel a bit more like content knowing that I could speak out for other people who might not feel like they can or struggling with it.
Yeah, I think in terms of like our stories and like where we sit in the world and the way that we've experienced, I guess, what do you think the value is of people hearing about our lives and about our journeys and about the things that we've gone through?
To know that they're not alone and not one heart condition can be the same and there's variety and that there's so many groups out there as well that we can connect and talk to other people that have similar experiences. So just, yeah, like that.
Yeah, yeah, that connection between, you know, we don't have to be the same to find common ground.
Exactly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Look, they are all of my questions. Thank you for letting me pick your brain and ask you so many questions. Do you have anything else you would like to say or you would like to add?
I don't think so.
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you guys so much for having me and for this opportunity.
This podcast deals with some heavy things. If this brings up anything for you or somebody that you love, it's important to reach out for help. The Heart Kids Helpline provides support, advice, and guidance for people impacted by childhood heart disease. You can call the helpline on 1800 432 785. To access more information about childhood heart disease, as well as support from Heart Kids, visit the website heartkids.org.au. The information on this podcast is not a substitute for medical advice from your doctor or healthcare team. Always talk to your doctor about matters that affect your health or your family's health.